Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen. Dreams do come true. And I look at my dreams in terms of a mom. And my dream is that every child of every being on earth and everywhere will be given the same protection and the same happiness and the same provision and the same joy that I have with my children. And and I know that everyone really wants that in their heart for all of our children, that in our heart of hearts we love everyone's child as we love our own child. And so because of that, and because there have been Ascended Master discourses that have said that animals will be removed from the planet if we don't start treating them better. And also because it has come to my attention that the upliftment of all life has to do in great part with how we treat animals. And because of that, I have invited two of the greatest women I have ever known, goddesses and relentless and obedient servants to their divine guidance, Dr. Terry Cole Whitaker and the Reverend Sharon Callahan, both acclaimed authors and leaders in their field, pioneers. And so welcome, Terry.
Hi, Iris and Sharon.
Hi, Terry. Hi, Iris.
Hi, Sharon.
Thank
Hi,
you.
Kelly.
Thank
Reporting
you.
In Wabbit.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for bringing us all together today.
I know. It's so wonderful.
Thank you for being here, and thank you for the shining lights you are. I can't think of anything I'd rather give to everybody than your consciousness and your sunshineness, both of you.
That's so sweet, Iris.
And so this is a party for me. And we all get to say the things that have been in our hearts that we want to say. So
yeah.
Our purpose today is in really talking about how people can uplift themselves, have their dreams come true, and uplift all life by their food choices, by their choices of what they wear, by their choices of what they think and what they serve. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I was thinking about when I was meditating on the show and what we want to get together is this thing from the Course of Miracles, and it says, whenever you are not wholly joyous, it is because you have acted without love to one of God's creations.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yes.
Yeah. So who wants to go first? Talk about that.
Gary?
Well, I was listening to the two of you. Well, it's that we're all beloved of God and that we're all part of God. And what some people don't understand is that they don't think that animals are souls. It's like we don't have a soul, because if you think we have one, then we want to know, who is that has one? What is that?
We are living souls.
We are living souls. And we are, and souls are spiritual, purely spiritual. And as it says in the great teachings of the Vedas, that the soul is made of consciousness, which is and knowledge, bliss, and eternity, and we're persons. And therefore, all animals are persons.
Yes.
In fact, in the Native American culture, they do acknowledge even that the trees are persons and the plants are persons.
Yes.
And what some people don't understand is that we were given dominion over the earth to represent God, because we're children of God in the family business of loving and caring for each other. And we're here supposed to care for the other persons who are in animal bodies or in plant bodies. So
yes.
Go on.
Have you heard, Terry, I was reading an incredible book by a man named Matthew Scully called Dominion, which
uh-huh.
is about the animal-human relationship. And I can't remember the exact derivation, but Matthew talks about the word dominion. I forget what the original derivation is, but the meaning actually, as it was originally meant, was to come down to.
Mm.
In other words, bringing God down into the world and regarding all of creation as equal. And of course, if we really do regard every other creature and even things that we consider inanimate as also filled with consciousness, mm-hmm. then we certainly would be good guardians.
Yes, and the thing that was so interesting what you're saying, Sharon, because we're there on Earth to be instruments of God, to be like, it's like, say, because this is still the Garden of Eden, it hasn't changed.
That's right.
And
except
so,
for the fumes.
Good, Iris.
Sorry.
Well, it wasn't. It's supposed to be. And so then we were the caretakers. We were representing God because God's everywhere present, but
yes.
this is the post that we were given. And also because of the intelligence that we have, because we are in these human bodies, we have the opportunity to become supreme human beings, which is truly divine,
right.
and to take care of what belongs to God.
Right.
And when we do that, we are living a bountiful life.
That's
Everything
right.
works harmoniously. So everybody has prosperity and happiness and health. And they said even in ancient times and Vedic teachings, animals could even talk.
Yes,
I know
exactly.
that might blow somebody's mind.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the esoteric teachings, both the ancient ones and more modern, really feel that we are coming back into a time when the animals will literally speak. Not simply telepathically, but really speak to
right.
us. And I feel that time coming closer and closer.
It is, because the universe works on the pendulum. It
yes.
goes in one direction to the other. Like, you know, it appears like we're going into global warming, but once that gets to wherever it goes, then we go to ice age, and then it goes back to global warming, and then it goes to ice age. It's like we've been in the Satya Yuga, and the Satya Yuga is when everybody is completely God-realized,
yes.
and everything's beautiful, and now the pendulum is going, because material things have beginnings, middles, and ends, which means just constant change, and when we as the caretakers of the wealth, I like to call us that, is that when we forget who we are as spiritual beings and guardians and caretakers and our divine powers, we forget these, then what happens is we succumb to the heaviness of material energy instead
yes.
of lifting material energy and acknowledging it's really spiritual. We look outside rather than inside, and
yes.
so what we do is then we go into these various cycles, and so when we go into the what you call the heavy cycle of ignorance and darkness, which is what appears to be around us right now, also as we get further in that, we're also getting closer to going to the golden age, to the
yes.
to that time. And it isn't really something that has to be in time. It can happen in this moment
yes.
when we become completely God-aware or self-conscious or God-conscious.
Yes, and don't you think, Terry, too, that, you know, in starting off our conversation
uh-huh.
about treating other
yes.
Beings and things
yes.
and the earth itself as sacred,
yes.
that really, particularly in our Western culture, I find with my clients, and you probably do too, that I think that a lot of our challenge is that we have lost sight of ourselves as divine beings.
Yeah.
And so if we lose that connection ourselves, of course, then we are not going to be able to regard the other beings as divine.
Yes, exactly. If we don't know who we are, how can we know who anybody else is?
That's right.
And then what happens is, what I've noticed is you probably have, there's so much abuse in the world, but no one's more abusive to us than we are to ourselves.
Yes, that's so true.
Even, that's very scary.
Isn't it? Even what we eat, you know, I was thinking... I'm an Essene bishop, and so the Essenes, they say, many say that, you know, the Essenes wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Nag Hammadi, and that Jesus was an Essene, and that many of Jesus' healings and the Essenes' healings were not just touching or just laying on the hands. That was one of them, but he would work with people of changing their diet to become vegetarians and then to clean their colon, and because they were eating so many animals, And a lot of the meat was rotten, and all these people had leprosy, and they had all these filthy diseases because they were rotting first from their negative thoughts, not knowing who they are, and then what they were eating. So they would do a whole kind of a program of spirit, mind, body purification, not spirit, but mind, body purification.
And I think it's such a simple thing, too, that people don't consider in this country because, of course, we don't really... often come face to face with the slaughter of an animal,
but
when you consume an animal's body, you're literally eating a cadaver.
Yeah, you're eating dead, rotting flesh.
Yeah,
corpse. Calls it.
Yes. But the body. See, they showed that our teeth are teeth of herbivorous. We don't have carnivore teeth, and we don't have carnivore digestion. And even they say in the, you know, in the book of Genesis and also in ancient Vedic teachings that all animals used to eat, didn't eat each other. They actually lived on herbs. Mm-hmm. And grasses. Even tigers and lions.
Yes.
In fact, Sharon, would you tell the story about the vegetarian lioness?
Oh, I would love to. Terry, I'm very interested in what you were saying because my own Tibetan teacher says that really the predatory nature or the carnivorous nature of animals is simply an outpicturing of the human distorted consciousness. And that as masses of people change and become compassionate and non-harming, we literally overnight will see the lion lie down with the lamb.
Yes.
And what Iris is referring to is an absolutely wonderful book written back in the 1950s called Little Tyke, the story of a vegetarian lioness. And to me, Little Tyke was really, you know, I believe that there are animal saints and masters, just as there are human masters.
I agree. There are a lot of elephant ones.
Oh, yes,
there are, aren't there? And or dogs saving somebody's life and being devotional.
That's right, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And so Little Tyke was actually rescued as a tiny cub because her mother was killed, and she was taken by some very kind people who raised her very lovingly, fed her with a bottle.
Oh.
And at a certain point, the veterinarian felt that they should begin adding blood to the milk they were feeding her because he felt that if she wasn't introduced to her carnivorous nature, that she wouldn't survive.
Mm-hmm.
The moment they put a drop of blood in the milk, she wouldn't touch it.
Whoa.
And she lived to be very, very old and was completely vegetarian by choice. As she got older, they would offer her meat. She would absolutely refuse it. And so to me, she was just the example of how it should be and how it can easily be, that all of nature can turn and be that way again, as you're saying, the Garden of Eden.
You know, what you're saying just so... inspired me. Wouldn't that be a wonderful book? Animal Saints.
I happen to be writing a book with that title.
Oh, goody. Because it's so great.
Yes.
And could be even also in children's books.
Yes, the title of my book, or the working title, Terry, mm-hmm. is Animals and Other Saints.
Oh, that's terrific. Terrific. I've got some great stories, too, about there was this one saint named Rasikananda from India. And he had all these mystic powers and abilities and just tremendous love, and he was absolutely beautiful in everywhere, even in his body and everything in his life. And there was this wild elephant, that mad elephant that had been killing people and destroying homes and being violent and stomping on animals and all this. And so the people were all afraid, and this Rasikananda went out to the edge of the village, and he looked for the elephant. And when the elephant came charging at him, just with his great spiritual potency and love, he put his hand out and he stopped the elephant. And he absolutely transformed the elephant to where the elephant bowed down to become his servant, took initiation from him to become a devotee. And they had this wonderful communication. And then the elephant became a servant of God and a servant of the people.
Yeah, transformation through love.
Isn't that great?
That's beautiful.
Oh, I love all this.
I'll bet you have a story too, Iris.
I have a story about this little kitty that I...
Oh, your kitty cat.
That I... Sharon was with me, and I thought I was looking for a dog at the Humane Society, a reincarnate dog that I had had before. And when I called up, and they said they had the dog, exactly as I described it. And when I got there, the dog had already gotten a happy home. And there was this little kitten, and... He looked at me like an angel. He was all cottony, and he didn't look too happy, but he just put out his paw to me and looked in my eyes. And he is so loving. I brought him home to all these other cats, you know, that are very privileged and spoiled and all cock of the walk and queen of the world. And they were hissing at him and everything, and they would they'd just turn around and beat the shit out of him.
Oh, they didn't.
And hiss, and he wouldn't even back down or be like he was scared. He would jump up and do some clownish thing and run around him and go, yeah, I know you hate me, but do you want to play? Do you want to play anyways, man? And the other night, he got his butt kicked again. And he just looked into this other cat's eyes and into her being with, I never saw such a transmission of love.
Oh, my.
And Sharon said to me, he's why you're there. He's why you're here. It's not a dog. And, see, I wouldn't have gone for another cat. I have a lot of cats. But he taught me one day, I mean, not that that didn't teach me, but one day I was really ticked off about something, and you know how you can breathe, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. And he came and laid on my lap, and I felt ashamed to take that energy into his space.
Oh.
I had this experience, like I could feel how heavenly he was, how relaxed, how loving. And I could feel how my body felt, and I just went, okay, senorita, you want this or do you want this?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if we're doing anything like eating animals or using them or keeping them captive for profit,
yeah,
that we're doing something that isn't in that heavenly vibration and frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we want. And that is what having God descend into here and bringing forth the golden age is. And this time, excuse my language, but, you know, that four-letter word that means fornicate, the pendulum, this time, the golden age, I want to keep it. Because
yeah,
I've seen that, and I want this.
Exactly. Do you know what you're saying, too, is so profound? It's that sense of, I have this course I do called 21 Days to Living Your Dreams, and what it's about is, you know, how people put off and they say, well, when I win the lottery, then I'm going to give some money to my church. And when I win the lottery, then
I'll
going
have
to
a
leave
house like that.
I'll have a house like that, or I'll leave that bad relationship, or I'll quit my work, which they really want to do what they love to do. And they have all these things, and they don't understand the way life works, that whatever we want in the future, if we want the golden age, we have to be there now.
That's right.
We have to act like it, think like it, speak like it, feel like it, regardless of what's going on around us or the condition.
Amen.
A man and a woman.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I mean it. You know, I'm not just kidding here.
No, this is true. This is true because we think, well, tomorrow I'll be nice to those people, because we're creatures of habit.
That's right.
And these habits get set in, it's the habit of eating. They say in the great teachings that the hardest thing to control is our tongue, both in what we eat and what we say.
Isn't that amazing? Be master of that. You are master of the world.
You're master of the world, exactly. And the thing is like people get, it's so interesting because I offer, which we did last week on the show, but I'll give people my email if they want. I have the offer to give anybody who wants a cookbook that's a vegetarian cookbook that's fabulous, I'll give it as a gift to them. They just have to send me their name and address, and I'll send it to them, and the recipes are fabulous. And what happens is people get used to eating animals, and they've been taught that they need all this protein or they're going to be sick,
right.
But too much protein will destroy their kidneys, and they don't need it. They have it in things, and so they've been just brainwashed to think that they're supposed to be eating animals when it's actually making people sick, and all the things they put in these poor little animals.
And tell what happened to you, Terry, when you were eating meat, and sort of how you became a vegetarian and stuff.
Well, when I had the stroke.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I took a group trekking in the Himalayas, and this was about 21 years ago, and it also, the basic thing of making me overeat was also, and eat the wrong things, was guilt. Trying to stuff down guilt of thinking I had made a lot of mistakes. Forgetting to look at the value I had done was just, you know, harboring this guilt. And that causes us to really do things we don't need to do. So anyway.
Well, and look at that. It's that, later, when I'm perfect, then I'll share myself. Werner said that.
Yeah.
After I'm perfect, I'll share myself.
Yeah. Or after
so,
I'm
perfect. Wow.
Yeah, that's it. We wait. Or I even come to God when I'm perfect.
Right. Yeah. So, Ben, don't call me. I'll call you.
I'll call you. Yeah. And so I was up trekking in the Himalayas. I got really, really sick. I had to be carried down on the back of a Sherpa. And I got to Kathmandu, and I could, it's like for 3 days, angelic choirs sang to me.
Oh, how beautiful.
In the Om sound, and then I got to Hawaii and had a stroke. Well, what happened is all my arteries were clogged up, you know, all these, this animal inside and everything. And I just was determined to find out what had made me sick and all that. And in the beginning, you know, then I became a vegetarian, cleaned the body, you know, lowered the cholesterol all naturally. And in the beginning, it was really selfish because it was for my own health. And then I've got a lot of stories that after that, I had these two cows and we had, at our place, and someone had been keeping in them there, and they killed one to eat it. And we happened to be there and see it happen, and how the mother cried. The mother cow cried.
Did she see it?
Yeah. It was terrible.
Oh.
What? How could they do that right in front of her eyes?
That's what they did. Because they don't think she has any feelings.
Oh, but that's just, you know, that's just to justify.
Yes,
saying an animal doesn't have a soul is justifying our cruelty.
It is justifying. Remember, I was a little kid and went fishing. I didn't want to go fishing. I said, I don't want to catch this fish. It hurts. They said, oh, no, fish don't have any feelings. So this is what we do also with people. When we do it with animals, We also do it with people by saying, oh, these are subhuman. They're not really human. They're enemies.
Right. Yeah.
They don't have children. They don't have
They're the
demons.
Wrong religion.
They're the wrong, definitely. Wrong, and so we have to kill them.
And the wrong color. The
wrong color. Yeah, and they don't do what we like, so we have to kill them. I know.
Well, I want to sort of go back to something that you were saying to me yesterday, Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you have subsequently studied with a guru in India, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday you were saying to me, Sharon, about India and and California, how India and California had sort of changed places or something.
Yeah, it seems like that.
Would you talk about that and about how it's a vegetarian population and
where is the vegetarian population?
In India.
They still have, yes, India has still predominantly vegetarian, but so many people have been corrupted by the Western world, and they want to have the same pleasures that the Western people have. Yes. So they've lost their wonderful culture, and in a sense, and so there's also, it's like one of the main exporters of the skins of animals, of cows. And it's why cows were always considered sacred is because the cow only does service to us, that the cow gives us milk. She doesn't drink her own. That milk, and when the cow is healthy and not given all these shots and hormones and everything, and then the milk is not pasteurized or homogenized, and there was a scare many years ago. They tried to tell people that encephalitis or the sleeping sickness came from unpasteurized milk, when the sense was it was people didn't keep the teats of the cow clean or do something, but this doesn't happen. And so when you can just bring the milk to boil, and it kills all the germs if you want. But that this milk makes yogurt, it makes ghee, which is butter, and you take butter and you cook it down into ghee. It's fabulous. Even cow urine. This might sound weird for some people, but when I lived in India, if I ever got sick or the flu, I would drink cow urine. Catching it was the hard part.
Doing what was the hard part?
Catching it. Because when you'd be behind the cow to get the cow urine, she'd stop. Because she's so cute. And but the cow urine gets rid of malaria, gets rid of typhoid, gets rid of fevers and diseases.
Oh, I have heard stuff like that, but I mean,
I did it.
Oh, my God, Terry. Well,
I did it. Collected my own cow urine and drank it.
Oh, my God, Terry. You know, I want to come back to that, but Don, did we lose Sharon? I'm feeling like Sharon's not there. Are you there? Sharon, calling in Wabbit.
She's not there.
She's not there. I wanted to tell her story about
you
India.
You got to get her.
And, Terry, I wanted to ask you, Sharon asked me yesterday, who is your guru? Who is your guru?
My guru? His name is His Divine Holiness, Sri Haridasa Shastriji Maharaj Babaji. And he has over 200 cows that he takes care of. And what he does, he doesn't even sell the milk, because he makes sure the babies get to drink all they want. They get to be with their mamas and loved. And so he just gives it away to people who need it. And he also feeds the poor when he can. And his whole thing is to really protect the cows, because it's the basis of all human benefits. It will balance the earth. It will bring people prosperity and happiness. And so he focuses his attentions on cow protection. But see, even the cow waste, which we call manure, or it's called goba, or cow dung in India, it grows food. And it's also medicinal, that they will mix it with clay and put on the walls of their houses, and it purifies it. And they've done scientific studies on the medicinal qualities of the urine and the goba, and then all the different things that the milk goes through that is completely healing. But see, people lack this knowledge because it's been blocked, because these people that want others to eat these cows. But the eating the cow makes people sick.
And you know what else? This is what Sharon was saying to me yesterday. And Dawn, if you can, would you get her back? It's 530-926-1245. Calling Sharon in Wabbit.
How'd you get to be a rabbit?
How did I get to be a wabbit? Oh, I've always loved wabbits. The way I met my sweetheart was I lost my rabbit. I've always loved them. I have wabbits now, and wabbits talk like this.
They do.
Yes, and I have four wabbits that have formed the Peace and Freedom Bunny Coalition, and they're doing animal advocate work to stop animal testing.
Yeah, because see, it's cruel. It hurts. And but this is the thing people don't understand, Iris. There's a law called karma. It's an immutable law of life, and it is what we give out, we get back. And when we do something, it's like a signal to the universe that we want that done to us. Whenever we do something, we're saying to the universe, do the same thing to me.
And we're saying, I like this part.
I like this, do it to me.
Ooh.
So if people are doing that, whatever, if they're hurting children or they're doing whatever, they will be hurt when they reincarnate, or they're going to, see, people think that they can escape. They think they can just get away with it. They think that there's no repercussion. But that's not life. Life is, it also works in the positive. If you give love, love will come back. But if you give hate, first of all, once you give out hate, you're feeling hate yourself, so you're going to make yourself sick.
Yeah, this or that.
Is Sharon back?
I don't know.
Oh, no, I guess not.
I don't think so.
So this thing about they think that, you know, that they can hurt an animal. See, the thing is, we don't need them for food. And this cookbook that I have, it's so fabulous because the first 42 pages really talk about, and it's with all the data and information, that simply by becoming a vegetarian, you become healthy. You also aren't getting any more bad karma. You are bringing ecological balance. You're going to have more money because you don't have to spend your money on animals. And it's going to get rid of the pollution. It's the fastest way to transform a person's life. Also, the more our body is purified with love, then the greater will be more exalted our meditations and our realizations.
You know, Terry, I'm thinking, you know, what can people do besides be vegetarians? And they can think, you know, like you were saying, you didn't want to go fishing when you were a child. And in fact, when I found out meat didn't just come out of a package in the supermarket, see, kids aren't taught that. But I had found out about farms, you know. And they need to ask themselves a question like with fishing, how would you like to have your whole weight held on your mouth with a hook?
And you're trying so to get by, to get off, and then they beat your head on a rock.
And is that something I want to send out?
Is that what I want to have happen to me?
Well, I try to walk in the world not only so I don't hurt, crush, mutilate, or staple someone.
Yeah.
Or something. I like to leave a smile on the faces of the flowers and the plants and the animals and the people. I like to leave a smile in my wake.
Yes. Well, you do, Iris.
Well, you do, too.
But, see, I wasn't... most children are like this. You know, some... You know, because we come in with what we left off in a prior lifetime. But, you know, so many little children, they're all hardwired for God. And it gets drummed out of them. And it's by people who also had God drummed out of them when they were children and babies. And they don't know any different. And so that's why I didn't know about the value of vegetarianism and all the things that I know now, except for the people that were teaching it. And that I'm so grateful for all the teachers and all the books that were available and all this, that the brave souls who taught me about this, so now I know. And that's why it's important, like your radio show, and that other people not just become a vegetarian, but help other people to become the same. And to be an instrument of love and joy and happiness in the world, like you are.
Well, for me, it's a mom thing. It's a mom thing. Once I realized how it feels to be a mom, I started watching dogs with their puppies more closely, and cats with their kittens, and elephants. And you can see it in pictures of polar bears. It's that joy and awe in God's creation.
That the love that is there.
Yeah, that something that beautiful can exist. And when our child is born, we look into those eyes and we never want them to be hurt in any way. We never want to disappoint them. We never want them to have anything less than happiness. And
that's right.
That's what I want for everybody's children.
Yep.
You know, cows have been known to break through fences and run 10 miles to be rejoined with their calves who have been taken away.
And the baby calves, when they come into the goshala, which is the dairy place where they spend the night, they all know where their mom is. They all know which one is their mother. They don't go to the wrong mother. And at a certain point, when the mamas are saying that they want their baby, they start calling them. It's like, okay, they've been gone enough. They're out playing, so I want them now.
Time for dinner.
And they want to see them, and they lick them and kiss them. And if you come up and especially when they're really little, if they don't know you or something, look out. You better not touch that baby.
Oh, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know. So, you know, that's what I mean. It's a mom thing.
Right. Yes, that's so beautiful. But I was thinking that the thing about also a lot of people don't understand that they think they may be a vegetarian, but they wear leather shoes or they have leather in their car and leather briefcases. And they've been told this is what rich people do. So they want to act like they're rich and that they're prosperous. And they have to, that skin, if they would find out that some of these cows and animals, their skin is ripped off of them while they're still alive.
Oh, Terry.
Just
no.
So somebody can have a pretty pair of shoes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but they don't, but there are all these man-made products that they can wear. Or in ancient times, you know, Jesus times, they wore hemp sandals. I had a pair once. They were fabulous. And when your shoes are done, they're biodegradable.
And don't leave behind a mess.
Yeah, don't leave the mess.
Well, not only that, you know, there was someone who said something to me about, they wanted this leather coat. This was only about 2 weeks ago, and it was $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
And this was supposed to be the very height of fashion, a black leather coat.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how depressing to wear the skin of a corpse and the color of death and mourning. Oh, that'll really raise your, that'll make you happy.
They're wearing a shroud of death.
Yep, and then people wonder why there's so many people taking Prozac.
Mm-hmm.
It's very depressing.
Mm-hmm. And so many illnesses and sicknesses. They have no idea that there's There's a perfect way that the whole universe functions. God made everything perfectly, and all we have to do is live in harmony with that. And even if other people don't, if we live that way, then we find we're happy and prosperous and life is good. And we just start. But it's like, you know, it's harder to find shoes that aren't made of skin.
Well,
but I find them.
And you know what I noticed?
What?
A lot of people, like I noticed this in a Bloomingdale's catalog and a Victoria's Secret catalog, that there are all kinds of beautiful polyurethane purses and boots and shoes.
Yeah, and fabric. Belts. And it's if we buy it, just like more people are getting organic milk. So that's why even the major stores like Ralph's or Albertsons, they've got organic milk because people vote with their dollars.
Yep.
That's my little theme. I had a bumper sticker for a while. You vote with your dollars. We also
don't vote for what you want more of.
Exactly. Because it isn't the voting goes on in the voting booth, because we all know those can be changed. And because, you know, elections can be rigged. But nobody can rig where your money goes.
Well, you know, there is one exception to that.
What?
And I really want to get this to my senator, congressperson, everyone, and the general public, mm-hmm. and I want us to ask for this. There has got to be a bill introduced into the Constitution that says we, as taxpayers, may allocate our money where we wish.
That would be great.
Yes.
Sequestered funds.
Yes, sequestered funds. I want my money to go to upliftment. None of my money is allowed to be spent on war. None of my money is allowed to be spent on any kind of cruelty or animal testing or mm-hmm. Experimentation. None of that.
Just because we vote with our dollars. We have to say where we want our money to go.
Yes, and we have to have legislation that says we will not pay for a war we did not get to vote on.
Right.
And we want it stopped. You know, I was sending the Democratic Party a bunch of money because they were going to, you know, get control of the Congress and the mm-hmm. House. And I wrote them and I said, I will not. I sent them a bunch of money for the last election, mm-hmm. a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been all sending me letters asking for more money. And I say, you said you were going to end that war. Now do it. Then I'll send you money.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, don't even talk to me.
Wow.
You know, and now they're asking for money for the next election. I don't think so, Terry.
No. No. Because, see, if people understand, see, the wonderful thing, too, also about the Internet, like your radio show, wonder if we email our friends, we find some information, and then we quickly email to everybody we know and encourage them to email to everybody they know if they agree, then in a moment, knowledge is disseminated, and then people can act on that knowledge.
Well, in light of that, I have one for you, and this is something that that Sharon was talking about yesterday, and I so wanted her to say it because she said it better than me. In India, where they have a primarily vegetarian culture,
uh-huh.
there is no violent crime.
Wow.
And they don't go to war.
Where is this?
In India.
Oh, they're starting to have violent crimes now. See, they become westernized. And they have lots of violent crimes. I had this manservant. He lived in a village, and his brother was murdered. But because he didn't have enough money to pay the police, nobody even came. I'm telling you, it's all bribery, from the very bottom to the top.
Well, so you're saying they're eating meat?
They're also, some are eating meat, yes, because they're eating McDonald's. They want to be Western. This is the thing. They want to be westernized because they think they can have more enjoyment, but they're going to start suffering in the same way the westerners do.
Well, you know, Terry, I'm really here to end suffering on this planet and
yes.
to bring in the Ascended Master's vibration and frequency.
Yes.
And to me, that is the loving of all life.
Yes. Yes. It is. It's loving all life. It's respecting all. It's actually being who we're meant to be. Why do you think, if people don't understand, there's a reason for life. There's a purpose. There's an intelligent design behind everything. And that there are billions of universes, not just this one universe. And that Earth is a very special place. And in ancient teachings it says in every universe there is an Earth. And Earth is called a middle planet. It's the planet where heaven and hell both exist. Because we could see some people living in hell right now. And some people living in heaven. It is a place where people get knowledge of who they are and what's possible and where they can go and what they can become and actually to obtain the instruction on how to do that, because we have an eternal life. And if we're harming others in this life and we're polluting or whatever, we think, who cares, I'll be dead. Won't be. But you won't be dead. You will take that karma. If you left a mess, you will be born into a mess. That's just the way it is.
That bears thinking about, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
It's still the same rules as in kindergarten. Clean up your own mess.
That's it. The same thing.
What I used you to will do, clean up.
My girls were little. I would say, you can live in your room. It can look any way you want. But you have to clean it once a week so that I know I'm a good mother and I at least taught you how to clean. And anything in your room can't go beyond your door.
Carrie, I shortened it. I just closed the door.
That was good.
And I said, but you can't do that out here.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you can do whatever you want in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I even gave up the good mom thing. It was like, and if you run out of clothes, though, because they're buried under this 4 feet of debris, you're going to have to get them to the washer and dryer yourself. Because when my kids were 13, I said, now, look at, here's the deal. Now you're 13, I'm going to do my work, and you will be responsible for your own laundry, and you will live here, you know, with the same responsibility that a roommate and a friend would. And I expect you to treat me like a friend and do your own laundry.
Mm-hmm.
And these were boys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was tough. Aren't you proud of me?
You're a good mom. Well, a good mother is to teach children how to be healthy, happy, loving, prosperous human beings, to be who they are, so that they're successful human beings.
Well, I just knew I wasn't going to spend all my time doing laundry anymore.
Well, that was great.
For people that changed 4 times a day and left their clothes under the pizza box, you know. You know, I used to see being a mom as, you know, being there to forward them going out into the world and just being the support for that, being the support for that, being the support for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they got 13, I said, now I'm here to do this cosmically. I've prepared and you guys are here to support that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you sort of come to that point too?
Oh yeah, and I still do. It's that sense of you know, loving your children, and I love all people as my children. You said that in the beginning. It's that we love, you know, to love all the animals as our children, and see, God loves us as children. And has us here to take care of each other, to help each other. And so any little animal is God is right there with that animal, because God's in the heart of every living being. God loves that person in an animal body. God loves every child out there, every person, every drunk, every drug addict, every abuser. Every angel, God loves all of us all the time, and is just waiting for us to just wake up
and love ourselves.
And yes,
be the prodigal son, daughter, remember who we are and go home.
Yeah, exactly.
And cut the crap.
Yeah, instead of torturing ourselves all the time. You know, people are just torturing themselves.
And we're torturing ourselves because we feel guilty for forgetting who we are.
Yeah, yeah.
And for... And then we don't feel like we deserve to look on the face of God, our Father, Mother, God.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's
so,
very good.
So, you know, I think you're saying two things. Stop feeling guilty, forgive yourself, and don't be guilty anymore. Go and sin no more.
Start living in harmony with your divine, beautiful nature.
Okay, I have two things for you that I asked this of Sharon. I've asked this of myself. I haven't come to something that quite works for me. I believe that thing in the Bible that says, "Thou shalt not kill," Terry.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it just applies to people. And I will carry a spider outside. And I don't smash bugs, but I will, and I don't use any kind of poison, but I will tell you, if a flea or a tick gets on my cats, it is dead meat.
That's all right.
Real quick. And so, I just don't know where to draw the line, and also I feed them chickens. And the way I became a vegetarian is that one day, I mean, I came from a corn pone consciousness. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Always have a half a beef in the freezer, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I used to eat steak for breakfast when I was a teenager.
Right.
And one day, after I was a mom, we're sitting there eating Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I looked out the door at these two chickens that I had for pets that I'd gotten as little chicks that followed me around.
Oh.
And I said, oh, my God, we're eating their friends.
Yeah.
And I won't do that anymore.
No. See, it's all the spices they put on everything. You know, it's like, see, a lot of people, you know, like Buddha, and to understand that Buddha really came to teach ahimsa, which was nonviolence, and to be a vegetarian. That was his main thing. And then also there's Jesus being an Essene. He was teaching vegetarianism. So when someone says, I'm a Christian, but I noticed I went by this Christian church last Sunday when I was on the way to one of my speaking engagements. They're having a big barbecue right on their lawn, cooking all of the you know, flesh of these dead tortured animals with their barbecue sauce and thinking they're Christians. It's like, that's very strange. That's
not the only strange thing on this planet.
No, I don't. I thought that's really strange. But I used to be that way. I didn't know any better. I didn't know what I was doing, but see, also people need to understand they're really doing it to themselves, because we're all one. We're all part of the same God. We all have the same God. And that whatever I do to someone else, I am doing to myself.
To the least of these, you have done it unto me.
Yes, and then we're doing it to God. So that's
no wonder people are feeling guilty and depressed.
Yeah, and they're sick because they're not acting according to their nature, their divine nature. It would be like if you're feeding a car, putting sugar in the gas tank. I mean, they might be able to work out gas that's made of sugar, but you have to have the proper gas tank and machine for it. Or if you put sand in your gas tank, it's not going to go. You know, it's like, it's just to understand who we are, what we are, and everybody wants to be happy. And there's a way to be happy, and to be happy, we have to be true to our divine nature.
Now, as Sharon was saying, mm-hmm. we will come to a point where when people quit being predators, and animals will quit eating each other too.
They will.
Of the food chain.
Yeah, they will. They will quit too.
Well, my question is, I don't know exactly how to quit with my cats because.
Well, you know what? The cats have a function. They are to eat mice at this point. But
I always take mice away when they're torturing them.
Well, I know, but I don't know what to do. I know they are torturing them, too. That's mean, but it's also like birds. You can put a bell on them, but I don't know. See, everything, people didn't keep dogs and cats in the house in ancient times. They were around the house, and they were in the barns, and the animals were outside, everything was in balance because, see, when we're in balance inside, in our own heart and mind, we have balance around us. And when we're out of balance, then our out-of-balanceness affects everything and everybody else. And I think the first thing is just, you know, you're doing what you have to do for your kitty cats right now, but maybe you can look up alternatives and find alternative ways to feed them.
Well, also, every time I feed them, baby food.
Uh-huh.
But I open a jar and I ask that the violet flame enter this condition and take it to the next level of good for all beings. And I don't know how that is to come about. And I'm really asking for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking for the end of all cruelty and all pain to all life. I'm really asking for that because that's everybody's dream, really.
Mm-hmm.
That's everybody's dream.
Yeah.
In their heart of hearts.
Yeah.
And Terry, I would like to ask you to do a prayer. I think it's time to go off. I actually have 3 clocks here. They all say a different time.
Well, can I give people my email address,
please,
if they want the free vegetarian cookbook? So my email address is Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, at Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, Cole, C-O-L-E, Whitaker, WHITAKER.com. That's Terry at TerryColeWhitaker.com. And I'm happy to send them. This is part of my mission.
I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a Hare Krishna cookbook, right?
Yeah, the Krishna people put it out because, you know, they're vegetarians, and they've spent a lot of money to research and get all these fabulous recipes for everything without eggs and without animals. And so they're terrific. And I buy the books at a good price, and they've done all the research, so I just get the opportunity then to give these books out to people.
Kelly?
Yeah.
I want one.
Okay, I'll send it to you.
Would you sign it? Would you like
it? Yeah, I've got some things I got to send you anyway. Send Iris. Okay.
Thank you. And thank you for being with us. And I would like you to do a prayer now for all the people and all the animals.
All right.
Closing.
Let's just have this prayer knowing that we are really children of God. We say, Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask that you guide each and every one of us to know our life's work and to fulfill that. And that if anybody out there is suffering from heartache in relationship, let them know that God is their eternal relationship. Let them know that they are always loved, and the love that they're seeking, they are. Just let them feel the love and just know that they are givers of this love. And the more they feel it, the more they give it, the more they have it. And anybody out there with financial problems, notice that what it really is a giving problem. And that to start giving to their church or their spiritual center, whatever they can on a regular basis, will start to open them up. And then to give their talents and their abilities and to have something that they offer to people that's good for them. And just know that, you know, that God is their source and their supply, and whatever they need will come to them. And if anybody needs a healing, to just ask that whatever the cause of that healing is revealed to them, and they are healed. And so it is. Thank you, God.
And so it is. Terry, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, and thank you, Sharon. She's fabulous. I'm sorry we lost her.
Me too. I love you.
I love you too, darling.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.